WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
We live in a world with shaky cameras and more. It's a Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. All the shaky cameras. I'm Sir Rock, and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
There was so many confusing things that happened on this show. I'm going to be completely honest, the show that I paid attention to. Because they kind of lost me there for most of it. A lot of it. Maybe...
It didn't? Okay. By the way,
maybe putting a cage match smack dab in the middle of your show where it takes them 30 minutes to set a cage up is maybe not the best of ideas in terms of viewership.
23 minutes to be exact. 23 minutes from bell to bell. Yes, I count it.
I'm not sure why they did this other than they were trying to counter program football, which I respect that. But honestly, if it takes you 23 minutes to set up a cage in the middle of your show and you do nothing but filler to the point that it's genuinely uninteresting filler, then, and I'm not bashing the people that did this. I'm like, in terms of the wrestlers and the writers and everything like that, it's just the way that they set this was really odd, because it's like they've got promo packages and video packages and everything else going on, and it's really not interesting. And after like the third backstage segment, you kind of genuinely start to lose interest, because it's just like,
oh, it's not, you did genuinely lose interest in that entire thing for basically 30 minutes.
Like, nothing was really happening that was exciting on the show. It was just a bunch of interviews and stuff. And it was just like, why did they stick this right smack dab in the middle of the show? Because they did. It was like right around 10 o'clock or 9.
It went. The bell ended in the Lashley Eric match, which Lashley won, by the way. Hurt business all the way. It was ended at 9:28. And then 9:52, 53, whatever it was, 51, whatever, is when the next bell rang for the cage match.
I mean, I'm not entirely sure why they didn't open the show with this or close the show with this, because like what Ash said in chat, you could have set the cage up during the underground, because you could have run a 15-minute underground segment and gotten the cage set up and gotten it ready to go and then put Seth and Dominic in the main event. I understand it was Drew and Keith and they absolutely deserve to be there, and I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but just based on the timing of everything, it's like, if it takes you almost 30 minutes to set up a cage right in the middle of the show, and I get it, right? You know, maybe it shouldn't be there, because it's like they can't lower the cage like they normally do. Like, normally it's, they have the cage pre-set up, they bring it down, they set it up, 2 seconds or 5 minutes max, they're done, right? This, they actually had to physically build the cage, and you could watch them, you could see them building the cage in like the cuts that they were doing, because they would go back every once in a while and check on the poor production people that were trying to set it up in a hasty manner. And it was just, they were trying to do it as quickly as possible. So it's not any fault on them at all.
No, but it's just based on the production of the Thunderdome. You cannot hang anything above it, because they've lowered the roof to encapsulate the arena to make it so you don't see the empty seats. So it's low enough, it's high enough that it looks, oh, look, it's all beautiful and powerful and you can do all the smoke and pyro and whatever. But it's low enough so you don't see the upper bolt, which is where the thing, where the cell hangs, where the cage hangs. That's the issue.
Yeah, so it was a really weird placement. Like, the match itself was fine.
Oh, we should say it's Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in the steel cage.
Yeah, and Buddy Murphy was there. He was forgiven to help Seth Rollins, and, well, Buddy sort of screwed up, and Buddy sort of paid the price for it, and I think has been officially excommunicated from the cult of Rollins.
But you noticed something.
Rollins, you know, was trying to tell Buddy, hey, it's all right, you screwed up. Because basically what happened is in the match, Seth is trying to escape, and Buddy was assaulting either Dom, I think it was Dominic, and he went to slam the cage door because Dominic, I think, was trying to get out, and Dominic got away from the door, and Buddy accidentally slammed it right on Seth's face, which gave Dominic the advantage. So Buddy went to try to stop Dominic from escaping and beat him up, and then Seth was able to win the match.
Hit the stomp and won the match, but afterwards...
But afterwards, Seth is like, oh, hey, it's okay, it's fine, you did good, you did good.
You did good, Buddy, you did good.
And then he takes Buddy by the head, and he lovingly kisses Buddy on the forehead before promptly chucking him into a wall.
There you go, LeMans. He caught it too.
Just like somebody else we used to know.
Well, yeah. I thought I was talking about the other thing, but yeah.
We're going to get to that, yeah, because then afterwards...
That was the one I thought I was leading to.
Well, no, I wanted to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. She had to bring up Bray Wyatt in this show somehow.
He's Bray Wyatt! He's doing Bray Wyatt! Not literally, but he's like, I don't want to say it's a ripoff, but it's like, it's an interpretation of Bray Wyatt. Of Seth Rollins being Bray Wyatt, but a much more cleaned up, like, preppy version of Bray Wyatt.
Speaking of Bray Wyatt, no, anyway, I'm told I'm not allowed.
No!
I'm not allowed to bring that up on this show.
We are not talking about that. My brain doesn't need to go there again. We'll talk about it on Thursday.
We have a teaser for Thursday. It's gonna be fun.
Anyway, so after the match, after Rollins leaves, after he's beat up everybody, the family goes to check on Dominic, and, well, Dominic's sister, the beautiful, kind soul that she is, stops for a moment to check on Buddy. And he sort of pulls back, like, what's going on? She's like, no, man, it's cool, just making sure you're all right. And then she gets in the ring to check on her brother.
Story development.
So, I think the Mysterios are going to maybe adopt themselves a Buddy, or Rey Mysterio's daughter, is going to get involved with Buddy Murphy somehow, romantically. I think that's where it's going. I think it's the first one. I don't think it's the latter. But you never know. It could, and it could be, you know, they're going for the sister, like I said last week, and they're going to lure Rey Mysterio's daughter away from the family, and Seth could lure her into the fold, as it were, and then, oh my goodness, what are the Mysterios going to do? They have to get their precious baby girl back from the evil, evil man, so this feud will continue for another 6 months.
The man? It's pro wrestling. Nothing ever makes sense.
Especially tonight. I think it's just her just stopping to take a moment, like I said, because she is the beautiful, kind soul that she appears to be. If you notice, she wears white, which is, they're basically trying to, like, perceive her as innocent and good. And it could just be a coincidence that she's worn white 2 weeks in a row, but I think it's intentional that they have her doing that. Where she's going to be, like, this good influence on Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, she took the kendo stick to him last week, but, you know, some people like that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he was beating up her brother last week. This week he got his ass whooped in front of her. So, I mean, you know, she's just checking to make sure he's all right.
You know, we talk about kinks all the time. Some people like that. I don't know.
I mean, they have been getting ultra kinky lately. I'm just, ever since this whole pandemic bullshit started, like, somebody on the writing staff is just airing their sexual frustrations because they just cannot. They cannot get kinky with people because I guess they're trapped in their house. I don't know. But, like, there's somebody on that writing staff or somebody on that crew that's just like, you know what? I'm feeling really saucy today. Let's do this on worldwide television because that's appropriate. So, you know.
So, moving on from that, we need to talk about more In Your Face Raw. Such a dumb name. Anyway.
I don't know if I mean if it was really like in my face because, you know, I was like not really paying attention much, but okay.
But it's In Your Face Raw. It was Champions vs. Champions, the Street Profits taking on Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Are they recycling the solo cups like every week? Like where some poor intern has to go pick up all the solo cups and stack them up by size?
You take the big broom and just push them into a bin and you just restring them.
But some poor intern probably has to do that.
Yes.
And then like, or are they just getting fresh every time? I'm really curious to know that. If they're just kind of like reusing it because again, they had Shinsuke and Cesaro like have to walk out in this sea of solo cups, which is highly hilarious that you have these two ultra uber serious people walking out amidst red solo cups.
And the man's no, neither organization can stop with names for shows. Anyway, Street Profits have got the win. A good match.
This is really good. This is really entertaining. I wouldn't mind seeing this again. They're trying to do the catchphrases to make it memorable and for advertising purposes. I would probably wager that the catchphrases are in conjunction with USA and possibly Fox, that they're giving them to WWE or WWE's working with their marketing team. Then it's like, hey, we've come up with this great scheme for you guys where we're going to tie all your marketing into this one phrase and we're going to run a campaign around it. And so we just need to push for you guys to push it on TV and push it on your website and push it on social. And then we'll take care of everything else from there. So that's probably what that is it's a marketing ploy.
Oh yeah. It's In Your Face Raw. Speaking of In Your Face Raw.
It just sounds like a porn name. That's the only problem. Like, it's just in your face.
The hurt business. Raw is the hurt business.
Okay. I'm going to try to say this as diplomatically as I possibly can.
I can't even get to the segment. Go.
I don't need the hurt business on my TV 15 times. I appreciate they're pushing them. I think it's wonderful that they're pushing them and they're making these guys. And they're doing something interesting with them, and they're making them into a faction, and they're badass, and they're all these things. I don't need them in every single hour, at least two segments on this show. They don't need to be on commentary. They don't need to be doing a segment in the first hour. They don't need to be in the Raw Underground. They don't need to be like everywhere on the show. And they were. They were everywhere on the show, which, you know, you see MVP wheeling and dealing, right? Like, you see him backstage, you know, where Adam Pearce is struggling with security and the fact that Retribution has gotten back in the building and they delivered another message of some consequence.
That they're from the Performance Center. That's all we learned. They're from the Performance Center. I'm not going to read their promo. They're from the Performance Center.
I'm going to rant on that in a minute. And so, you know, you have all that going on, and that's great. I feel like, at least for me, the Hurt Business is just a little much right now.
Speaking of the Hurt Business, Cedric can't do mean guy face.
No, he can't. He's so cute.
He's just this smile that doesn't go away. He just can't do mean guy face.
He's trying. Leave him alone.
He's trying.
They haven't taken him to the mean face class yet. That's next week. So when he learns, it'll be fine.
So he came out with the Hurt Business and Gold Standard's now Platinum and Cedric Nick spoke to his tax attorney and now he's an official member of the group. Okay, whatever. And then Alexander talked about how everyone's salty about what happened and then yada, yada, yada. Now he's joining up with the baddest men on Raw. Ricochet and Apollo Crews come out and they're yapping and how dare you, we're not, you know, you come out here and we thought we were friends, we were like brothers, and they didn't want him to come back to them, were they just coming to get them? And then it was Cedric and Ricochet, and Cedric beat Ricochet. Oh, how the money have fallen.
Why do you have to talk to a tax attorney to join a group?
He got his W-9 together. I don't know. And then that's where we had the first thing of the Retribution show up, where they talked about being from the Performance Center, which led to then the Heart Business making a deal with authority figure
Pierce.
Adam Pierce. That's all how that tied together. Do you want to rant about them now, or you want to wait till the end?
We'll wait till the end.
Okay, because we have things to get through. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Ah, we mentioned that. We had Kevin Owens and Aleister Black. Kevin Owens won after the lights flickered. That was
Aleister Black has pants now.
He does have pants now.
And his eye patch is purely aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. So look, Ruby and Liv beat Natty and Lana, and then Lana got her ass whooped by Shayna.
Because, you know, reasons.
Lana earlier in the evening was flirting with Angel.
Okay.
For whatever reason. And...
Oh, we know why. We know exactly why. Because Lana's husband turned up somewhere else. That's why. That's why everything happened to Lana tonight.
Well yeah.
And honestly, I'm going to say this right now. WWE, if you put her in a romantic storyline with another man when her husband has gone to another company, y'all are hoes. All right?
Just like Angel Garza.
Just like Angel Garza. Don't do that to Lana.
So
don't do that, because we all know she's married to him. We all know it. And even though they got divorced on WWE TV, they've since reconciled on Instagram and Twitter and whatever social media platform she's on. Twitch. So please don't do that.
Garza and Andrade bickered and were fighting backstage, and Selena was mad.
Okay, can we just say that this is mom and her two children?
Yes.
Because that's what this was. This was mom and her two children, and the way Zelina Vega was looking at Angel Garza was like, that is a mom look. That is straight up a mom, what the hell are you doing? Look to her child. And Garza was just like, yeah, no, I'm good. It's like, wow, you are brave, son. Because if she looked at me like that, I'd be scared.
So,
and then they fought like literal children. Like, she just walked off. Like, she's, I'm done with both of you. I'm tired of this crap. And she walks off, and it doesn't take them 2 seconds for somebody to throw an insult, and then they're just throwing fists.
Yeah. More
children. More actual children.
More on Zelina in a minute.
No, LaManzi did not.
No. So it was for the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka versus Mickie James.
What
the hell was that ending?
What was the finish?
So I had to rewind and rewatch it. So Asuka put in the Asuka lock, and Mickie's trying to fight out of it, and she's, you know, doing, she does the flip over, so she's on her feet, but she's moving around, and Michael Cole screams. Yes, Michael Cole was back on commentary, whatever happened to Dom Phillips, who knows, and no Samoa Joe, so we had Ziggler and the MVP.
Because Ziggler wanted to go fight in the Underground.
Which we'll get to in a second. So, Cole screaming, she tapped, and then I watched, it's like, she didn't tap, and Mickey was like, what? Asuka's like, what?
But they called the match.
Because the referee said Mickey could no longer continue. And I'm like, what? It made no sense. It legitimately made no sense, to the point where people, including myself, on Twitter going like, did they just call the match?
Yeah, the rumor going around is they cut the match.
Did Vince say, hey, that's enough? Get them out of there?
It feels like it, because after the match, when Zelina was out there, the ref was down with Mickey, who was laying on the floor, and he was talking to Mickey. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on with it. It's a really, really weird ending. It's very abrupt. It's not planned at all. It's not polished, which leads you to believe that it's not a botch, or it's not like they planned this. It was very much, I think they did just cut the match mid-show, and we're like, we're moving on to something else.
We don't know if that's true.
It feels like it.
And we'll get word on it overnight, what actually happened. But
I'm worried that, my concern is that somebody got hurt.
No one looked hurt. Like, Asuka seemed fine. Mickey seemed fine because she was moving.
But we don't know what happened. So it could be that maybe something happened to somebody, and so they ended the match real quick just to get them out of the ring. It could be that they cut it. It could be that that was the planned finish and it just didn't go right because they didn't have the right camera on it at the time. It could be that, like, they missed Mickey tapping.
But no, when she was like walking around looking to be like when I screamed she was tapping, I made sure to watch. Like, no, she just moved her hand once and put it on the ground to just.
I guess they're considering that as a tap, or she passed out or something. I don't know. It's very bizarre. It was a very bizarre finish to an otherwise pretty decent, pretty good match. And I was actually really hyped up for this because it's like it's Asuka versus Mickie James. Okay, all right, are they going to let him go? Because if they let him go, this is going to be good. And they let him go to a point.
And it's like you could see them going more. Like it had potential. It was like it was a point where Mickie cut this great promo. It was like, give her the belt. Just give it to her. You can put it back on Asuka in 2 weeks. Just give the belt to Mickie one more time.
Yeah, because I think Mickie's kind of coming up on the end here.
I mean,
so
after a big knee injury and stuff and having a kid and being getting close to 40, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that she's deciding to move on, or could she be she's staying for another 5 years. We don't know, but it's like, it's just, yeah, give the belt to Mickie one more time. Let her hold this title. Because I think then that would make her one of the only women, possibly the only one to hold the women's title, the original women's title, the Divas Championship, and then the Raw Women's Championship. Yeah. I think that would make her the only one to do that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else has done it, no.
Because nobody else is around anymore that held the women's
title. Nikki?
No, Nikki.
Nikki never won the Raw Women's title. She had the Divas title.
Yeah, Nikki. They teased her winning the Raw Women's title, but they never put it on her.
They never put it on her. Okay. Anyway.
Like I think the closest would be Charlotte because she held NXT, the Divas and the Raw and the SmackDown, but Mickie would be the one to hold it from all three.
All the eras. Yeah.
All three eras. So just give her like either the Raw or the SmackDown one more time. Just let her have that. Please let her have that. And not to say, you know, because honestly, she's earned it. She's more than earned it. Let her do that.
She definitely earned it. So
pay her back for Piggy James, you assholes.
So we go Raw Underground. Braun Strowman was there beating up people.
Okay. Can we just talk about how tall the bodyguard guy is?
He is
a massive, massive individual.
He was that big ninja now, you know.
Well, it's like you don't really get a scale for him because it's like you look at Shane, right? And Shane is not short. Shane, I think, is like 6'4". He's not tiny by any stretch of the imagination.
6'2".
Okay, 6'2". So when you put someone like Braun Strowman, who in any other application in WWE is considered a giant, he's like 6'8 or 6'10.
6'8.
In any other application, he's huge, right? You put him next to, the man's name is Jordan. You put him next to Jordan. Jordan makes him look like dwarfed.
7'3", 334 like pounds.
He towers over Strowman. It's like, holy shit, that is a massive man of humanity. Like, oh my god, he's big. Why is he watching the door?
Because Shane McMahon needs a bodyguard.
Okay, you have a 7'3" monster at your disposal. I don't want to call him a monster because I'm sure he's a lovely person. But you have a 7'3" individual that you could take into the underground and he could just destroy people. Like, when are they going to let Jordan into, like, get in on some of the action?
He's a 7'3" superior athlete, better than calling a monster.
There we go. I'm sure he's a lovely person. I'm sorry I called you a monster, Jordan. That was not intentional at all.
So anyway, back to Braun being in the underground. One, why is he there?
Because he can be. He doesn't have anything else to do. Bray's going to go for Roman.
Because he has a walrus now. Anyway, that's another topic.
God, the walrus is so creepy.
Topic for a different day. I have a feeling.
Danny DeVito! Looks like Danny DeVito!
I have a feeling the SmackDown Throwdown returns this Thursday.
It's so coming back. I'm going to have to rewatch it because I wasn't entirely sober when I saw it. I know, shocker.
Shocker. Anyway, but Braun was beating up people in the underground, then Titus came in and he got his ass beat too, and then Riddick Moss got just beat up the entire night.
It kind of became a drinking game. Riddick Moss goes down and gets back up, take a shot.
It really did. And then who was it? The other guy, the MMA guy, showed up at the end of next week. It's gonna be Strowman and him.
Okay, so I have questions. Why are there production people, staff at the Raw Underground? Y'all should be working. I mean, I don't want to tell anybody what to do with their job, but the least you could do is not be there in your work, you know, your business casual work attire, where you're in your tie and your dress shirt and your pants. Like, the least you could do is, like, go throw on a jeans and a t-shirt so you're slightly less inconspicuous. Also, the fact that there isn't somebody walking around as a bookie is just a shame.
Dabo can't, Dabba Kato.
Dabba Kato. But it's like, they have people in like ties and shit there. I'm like, oh, so I see what y'all are doing in your time, your downtime. Okay, all right, you're just watching people get beat up. Like,
he was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter, not MMA, but same
thing. I like how we're on two different, like...
Yeah, I'm reading chat. I'm responding to chat. You're all in the betting thing, and I'm trying to figure out his background. We're good.
But anyway, I'm like surprised there isn't like money being exchanged, or there's a bookie, or there's like a place that you can place your bets or stuff like that.
And here's the thing: her business would be the perfect thing for that.
They would. They so would. Oh my god.
And that's why I thought MVP was doing like in week one, but no, that didn't transpire anywhere further.
You know who they should have doing it?
Who?
Since Hurt Business is like onto bigger and better things, get fucking Robert Stone in there. Taking bets.
You know, work. All right, now let's get to the main story of Monday Night Raw. It opened up with the WWE Champion Drew McIntyre, and he talked about his fractured jaw, and he was lucky to be here. And then if he takes a big shot, he could be hurt again. And he, you know, if it happens, he could forfeit the title. Okay. He proposes that he and Randy have an ambulance match at the Clash of Champions for the WWE title. Then we had a Photoshop of all his victims in hospital gowns, including Dolph Ziggler. He pointed out the authority figure, Adam Pearce, walked down and said, "The extent of Warren's injuries are unknown." And then, well, if Randy's unable to appear at the pay-per-view, then if Keith Lee beats you tonight on Raw, he challenged for the WWE Championship instead. Keith Lee came out, him and McIntyre shook hands. So we had that.
So it was peaceful. It was respectful.
Very peaceful at that point, right?
The art department got to have fun for Drew McIntyre's segment.
It made him laugh.
Yeah.
So that was a good thing, because I don't think he ever saw it until he was in the ring. Then Drew was in the backstage ring talking. You know, he's talking about hitting Randy with the... Randy almost hit the RKO on Keith Lee. He said he wasn't saying that Lee wouldn't have kicked out, you know, and then Keith Lee showed up and Charlie... You know, move that away, and they're talking, and then he thought they were friends, said Keith Lee, and then McIntyre said the word, and then Keith Lee was upset that McIntyre seemed to ask Orton was going to beat him, and Lee recalled that he beat Orton at Payback, and Lee said McIntyre seemed concerned that he might beat him and take the match of Clash of Champions, and McIntyre, he's not afraid, and Lee then put his hand on McIntyre's shoulder, and McIntyre slapped away a couple times, and then they started to fight, and they're fighting, we come back, they're still fighting, We come back one more time. McIntyre's taping his wrist, and Keith Lee shows up, and they're fighting. Adam Pearce got in and say, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna cancel your match if you don't stop." And then Keith Lee backed off because you know he could lose a title shot. So then it's your main event: Drew McIntyre, Keith Lee. Good match. Getting close to the finish. Then the lights go out. Come back on. I don't even think the lights went out. I think just Retribution hit the ring. Yeah, the lights went out. Retribution just surrounded the ring. Oh no! Time to unhook the cameras. Shaky camera time. Like, legit, like, why are the cameras shaking? I know there's a lot of people at ringside, but they're bolted. They're on a rig. Unless someone's there actively swinging them, they should not be shaky like that. I can understand your camera cuts in your truck, but there should not be shaky camera.
Yeah, can we stop with the shaky camera? It's just a little... I mean, I get it. You're trying to, like, be like, oh my god, it's chaos. What are we gonna do? It's retribution. Like, that's literally what they're doing. So, like... Yeah, I can see them doing why they're doing it, but can we not?
So
because motion sickness is a thing.
Yeah, Retribution is just beating on them and beating on them and beating them on them. And then the Hurt Business show up, and I'm going like, oh no. To be fair, the only reason I thought this is because I've been watching too much 2001 WWE lately that I thought Retribution was going to join up with the Hurt Business. It's a new alliance. No, the Hurt Business took off their fancy suits and they started a brawl with Retribution. They're fighting on the outside. Drew and Keith figure out a way to get back up to their feet and do a flip over dive and land on everyone. Okay, go. You want to rant? Go.
I don't understand why you would have them say that they were all from the PC, because then it makes it really blatantly obvious who it is. And I'm not sure I'm a fan of that, because I think the whole point of it, or the original point of it, who knows what the actual point of it is now. The original point was it was supposed to be people who had been cast off, cast aside, left behind, forgotten by WWE, that they're basically the people that come in every week and sit in catering and just collect a paycheck, and they're disgruntled about it, right? They're pissed off because they're seeing all these other people get all these other opportunities and they're stuck in catering and they're one bad day away from getting fired. Like it's I think the original intent was supposed to be those individuals, right? And now it has since evolved into performance center veterans, I think is what they call themselves. Okay, so to say that they're performance center veterans,
one, takes the sting out of the whole thing.
Takes the sting out of the whole thing. It takes the surprise out of the whole thing. Even though a lot of people have figured out who was under the mask, generally it's like because you have somebody in a mask, that doesn't mean that it's going to be the same person when the mask comes off. So it's like you have a lot of leeway. To say that all of them are now performance center rejects, it's like, why are you guys bitter? Because they took your home for six months?
If that's the reason, that's one thing. Fine, be upset that they took your home, but you were destroying your home. So that made no sense.
Yeah, and it's like, are you bitter because you had to be forced in the audience? Like, I'm just not sure why people at the PC would necessarily be upset. I mean, yes, there are people who are forgotten, who are cast aside, who, even in NXT, they don't ever, they kind of go up to TV, and then they don't really resonate, or they have, you know, they don't really do well, and so they kind of fall off and go away.
If it's Kona Reeves, then 100% I believe it. If it's Dominik Dijakovic, I don't believe it. Because Kona Reeves has been thrown to the side 10,000 times because he can't get over. Dominik Dijakovic was all over television. Mia Yim was all over television. So I don't, if that's who that gets revealed as, please.
Yeah, Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, who is actually one of them.
Who just got there,
who was originally signed, I think, as a trainer, and then they put her on TV, and they didn't really do a lot with her originally because they were starting to, and then I think COVID hit and everything kind of got screwed up, and then they were pushing her. They had her as a part of the Robert Stone brand. They had her working with Rhea, and then they just killed that real quickly so she could come up and do Retribution. So it's like, I don't see how it could be Mercedes. Like, what her gripe would be. Like, I'm sure she has a legitimate gripe, but, like, I don't see what hers would be. Mia Yim has a little bit of a gripe, but she was getting pushed because of her association with Keith Lee, and then Keith Lee got called up, and then Mia Yim kind of disappeared off TV.
Hand raise. If she's in the group and they're beating up Keith Lee, it makes even less sense.
I don't... Look, what happens on TV stays on TV. But I think the point what we're trying to make is there are some people who are at the PC who just got there, or they're there to train. Like, you haven't even been on TV yet. What the hell could you possibly be disgruntled about? The fact that they made you do too many push-ups that day? Like, seriously. It's like, you have people, and I'm going to use him as a perfect example. Fucking Bo Dallas. Where the fuck is Bo Dallas? He hasn't been on TV in a year. A solid year. Where they fired his tag team partner.
I know.
Where is Bo Dallas?
Well.
We're not going there.
Well.
Anyway.
Well, we kind of know, but we don't. No one else knows.
But just as an example of Bo Dallas, right? He was the shining star of FCW NXT, yes. Right? He was one of the longest reigning champions for a long time in NXT. He had a character in NXT that was working for him.
He had the best loser leaves angle of all time.
He had a fucking golf cart chase to leave NXT. Like, it still cannot be topped to this day. Where you had a bunch of security guards chasing a grown man in white, shiny wrestling trunks that looked like tidy whities in the dark around a college campus. Like, just, hello. Anyway, they repackaged Bo Dallas when he came up. They turned him from a heel to a face, and he just sank. He just 100% sank. And he found his way here and there afterwards, and then he found his way to Curtis Axel, who was somebody else who had been cast off. They formed a tag team. They got the fucking shit over, because they literally made their own shirts, and they got the B-team over. They worked with Miz, and then they got it over themselves. And they were on TV, and they were doing well, and then that got killed. And they had, like, one shot against Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, and that just fell apart, and now he's gone. Now he's just not on TV anymore, and nobody knows why. Like, if anybody has a legitimate gripe, it's fucking Bo Dallas. Where is he? Is he in the group? Because he kind of should be.
He should be the leader. He should be the leader.
He should be the leader. Or if not the leader, one of the leaders. Like, maybe that's what they mean by performance center veterans, is it's people that's come through the PC that came up to the main roster and sank like a stone. But that means even makes even less sense to have someone like Dominik Dijakovic, not to keep picking on him, but in that group, because he never even came up to the main roster. He's been on NXT for ever. Same thing with Mia Yim. Same thing with Mercedes Martinez. Like, God, who's another one? Hold on. But I mean, it's like, my point is you have all this talent, right? That's been jilted. All this talent. You know, Akira Tozawa would be another really great one. They've turned him into a fool. He runs around with ninjas. It's great comedy, but is that who he really wants to be? Probably not. You know, it pays the bills. What I'm saying is, like, why aren't people like that in this group running this group? And that's not to say that when it's revealed that they won't be, right? Because the masks have not come off yet, but just... My issue is saying they're PC veterans kills that thought, kills that notion of, well, it's really is people that are jilted and it's just a bunch of disgruntled developmental talent that want to come up and wreak havoc, which they tried a few years ago with NXT versus the main roster. Actually, technically last year, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think that was wise, but that's just... me. I'm sure other people liked it. And then at the end, when you had Retribution come out and disrupt the title match, or disrupt the match between Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre, that to me was smart. That to me was good, because then that goes to no finish. So you let Keith have another opportunity next week on Raw, or you just go ahead and put him in the title match. And we don't know. Keith Lee could be a part of it.
Well, probably, I would assume, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I would assume, but you
know,
or
he gets the winner of it.
And then what was weird though was, like, they're fighting and we're sitting here and we're like, somebody's got to get unmasked, right? Like, that's how this is going to go, is someone's going to get unmasked, because there's like one guy in particular where pretty much half of his face is already out because of the mask that he's wearing. And so it's like, somebody's going to lose their mask and we're going to see one of the leaders or a member of Retribution, very similar to what they did with Aces and Eights, where they slowly unmask people, either through their own fault or by their own choice. And that didn't happen here. And then you had Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre take out, like, what was it, 10 people?
Mm-hmm. With two flips, yeah.
With two flips. And it was like, oh, well, that makes them look
weak,
strong. You know, that's not good to have. And granted, it's a lot coming at you. Drew McIntyre and Keith Lee are very athletic and very muscular and all the things. And, you know, you got to catch them. But to say that they took out 10 people and just left them laying by two flips.
So
it made Lee and McIntyre look good, which is the point. But yeah, it did not do either of them any favors.
One quick thing I forgot to mention a little bit a while ago. Zelina Vega came out and basically challenged Asuka to a match.
After, we think, poisoning Mickey James.
No. There's no we. I don't think that.
Fine. I say she poisoned Mickey James. That's the only logical conclusion I could come up with at that point. In time, was it's like, oh, Mickie James can't continue a match. Gee, we've seen this before. And 2 seconds later, out comes Zelina Vega. It's like, yep, mom poisoned Mickie. That was a thing. That happened. Because I don't know. I got nothing else. I have no other explanation.
But that's Raw.
That's Raw.
We'll talk more things Thursday night on The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
So, apparently my worlds are colliding and the Property Brothers are going to be on the bump tomorrow.
Wednesday.
I just don't even know what to do with that right now. I'm still processing that, but I had a horrific idea during Raw. I don't want to rethink it right now, but yeah, you can tune in. You can listen to us talk about it. You can also listen to us. God, I can't speak. Listen to us talk about SmackDown, because we're going to bring that up. Because there were things that happened on SmackDown that we should discuss. And news notes, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight edition, it's CB Radio, CBLive.com. GreatTheGreatDebate.com. They'll be back Sunday night to preview Clash of Champions. We'll be back next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Raw Post Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com, it's Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. Hey, do you like Star Wars? Do you like Marvel? Hey, Disney owns the world. You can use creator code ROCKETSTOCK in the Epic Games Store or the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag Epic Partner.
Ding. You can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD.
Thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the rack and right back here for the Raw Post of every Monday night along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.